percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Oh, yeah. It's the weekend. Well, still, okay. Maybe leaving. And it might not be the weekend where you are. But we're playing, so just play along. Whatever time of day it is, play like it's a weekend. It's always more fun that way. Hi there. Welcome to Wendy's Coffee House. Okay. Been playing with the blog, speaking of playing. And for me, it's weekend all the time. So that's just my state of mind. I like it. The updates, you can check them out. Whenever I do a guest interview, I always try and include some details and background on the interview and the guest. Okay. Sometimes I'm better at that than others. But just check that out. I had an interview with Dr. House. Put some stuff in that that I didn't have time to get to while we're on the air. So it gives you an idea. There's a little bit more. Sometimes there are also some great links that'll get more information about that, too. Coming up, if you are seriously into the UFO thing, we've talked about the UFO highway. We talked about that really cool place out in Colorado that it's like you go out in the middle of nowhere and you have a perfect viewing space for UFOs. And yes, they see them. Okay, so we're getting away from that right now. It's the Devil's Tower UFO Rendezvous. And if you want to get into that, you can check it out September 14th through the 16th. They still had registration information. You can check that out. I thought it looked great. The Blade Runner 2049 prequel is out. Collider, I think, had the exclusive on that, but it's on YouTube. That is really good with Jared Leto or Leto. Jared. Okay. He does a great job. All right. He's in this, the prequel. So you can check that out. Looking forward to that. Philip K. Dick. Wow. Wow. If you read any of his stuff, then take a look what's happening right now. You would wish that he wasn't that well connected. But anyway, so his supposed sci-fi and reality mix mashup is pretty intense. In Australia, they prevent boredom while driving because apparently it is sometimes a little boring on the roads. They have trivia on the road signs to keep you entertained, engaged, and hopefully awake. No, not coffee, trivia. Some of the signs, fatigue zone. Keep playing trivia, it may save your life. And then as you're going along, that question, they'll give you a question, floral emblem of Queensland. Okay, and then I don't know how many hours or miles later, but you'll find the answer, the Cooktown orchid. See, you didn't have to drive. You just got to listen, and there it is. We gave you a cheat, all right? So now you'll know ahead of time when you come to that sign that you might need to read a book between now and the next, or, you know, audiobook, okay? Audio, please, please, audiobook. Been checking out the Harry Potter audiobook series. Whoa, the narrator on that's fantastic. So anyway, okay, there you go. Just a little bit of trivia, and then back to the website here. I've got a few. I find these sci-fi. YouTube has some fabulous sci-fi shorts. If you haven't had a chance to check them out, then I've posted a few on the website, Wendy's Coffee House, just so you can kind of just enjoy. There are some that are funny. The crop circle one's kind of funny. The UFO guy who's a real fanatic has a sighting. It's like, oh, wow, I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's got a nice little ending. Anyway, that kind of stuff. So check that out on Wendy's Coffee House. Interview coming up with the editor-in-chief of Fate Magazine, Phyllis Goldie, and that'll be a fun one, too, talking about all the spooky stuff. And today I wanted to talk with Annie Kagan, whose brother, Billy, well, he had a reputation, okay? He was an interesting guy. The deal is his reputation is even bigger now because this is Billy in the afterlife. The afterlife of Billy Fingers. This is a fascinating story. And Annie didn't expect it. This is something where she's learning as she goes too. But the subtitle, How My Bad Boy Brother Proved to Me There's Life After Death. All right? You're going to want to stick around because we're going to tell more of the story. Right now, I'm just going to introduce Annie real quick. Hey, Annie, and I'm so glad to talk with you again. This is, you've got a great story.
Hi, Wendy. It's so nice to be here.
Okay. And Billy just hangs out when he feels like it, right?
Yes.
He's that
Billy
kind of guy.
He doesn't go by any rules.
Yeah, like he ever did.
Right. He's just a continuation.
Well, the story, I talked with you a while back, I get right after it first came out, and I think it's so incredible that you were able to, you know, for one thing, just allow it to unfold and continue to ride along with a guy who in life would have been kind of a practical joker.
Yes.
So the afterlife, he's even that little shtick goes with him. I'm fascinated by this, and we're going to have to get into the story after the break. But for people who are interested, this is a real story. This is true life. When you experienced it for the first time, how did you know it was Billy?
I wasn't expecting it. Billy had been hit by a car and died, and I was very, very deep into grief, and I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden I hear his voice, like, coming through the ceiling, and he's like, Annie, it's me, Billy, it's me. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're dead, Billy, I must be dreaming. And then he told me to get out of bed and get a notebook, and then I realized I wasn't dreaming, and it just sounded exactly like him. And I didn't, actually. At first, I really, you know, it was like when he would talk to me, I knew it was him. And then when he would go away, I would think I'm crazy or I'm having some kind of strange grief reaction.
Yes, yeah, it's all grief.
Yeah, I'm imagining it to make myself feel better. And I continued to think that for a very long time, even though I wrote down everything that he said. You know, the mind just comes back in and says, this can't be happening.
Yeah.
So it took quite a while for me to believe it, but I have to say that he's a lot funnier than I am. And that was one of the things, is like, I couldn't, like, write this, and he was telling me such wise and interesting things that I just didn't know. And of course, if you read the book, you understand that he also gave me proof.
Yeah.
And that was a critical part of the journey.
Okay. We're going to take a break. But what we're going to come back and talk about is Billy in life had the reputation and why he was a bad boy, okay, so that people can understand where this is coming from, because this is what makes it so fascinating.
Right? I agree.
Okay, all right. So it's the afterlife of Billy Fingers, my guest, Annie Kagan, the sister who's like, holy cow, I wouldn't have called this. All right, so Annie Kagan, we're going to come back with more of the afterlife of Billy Fingers here on Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO, talk radio. So relationships with brothers and sisters, you know, can sometimes be a little bit quirky. You've got the good relationships. You've got the relationships that are on hiatus and the relationships that never happened, all right? However, you're still related. Well, the afterlife of Billy Fingers is a fascinating story because Annie, who has this brother with a rep, all of a sudden has an even better relationship somehow, because now he's gotten rid of all of his baggage, so to speak. Okay, I might be overstating that. But anyway, he's very, very entertaining in the afterlife. So wanted to kind of catch up. And what was he like? How was he as a person when he was in the corporeal form? He was actually a human physical person.
Well, he was always my bad boy brother. And I never understood what that meant until I got a little older, because he was always in trouble. But aside from the fact that he was in trouble, he was charismatic. Women loved him. People loved him. And I loved him. And mostly he ignored me, because I was the goody two-shoes, and he was the bad boy.
You might tell
and
on him.
So I was the one getting all the A's, and he was the one, you know, setting fire to the school's cafeteria. So he was, from a very early age, he was a very serious heroin addict. and dealt with that problem for basically his whole life.
Yeah.
And but that didn't make him not a beautiful, amazing person. And I think one of the really important things about this book for people is that he didn't suffer after he died. You know, we have all these concepts of karma and these terrible things that are going to happen to us if we do something wrong or if we're not perfect according to somebody else's rules. But what Billy says is that none of that is true. That's just all man-made concept, that in the afterlife, all there is love and healing. And we all have our flaws. And I think he makes that okay. And although he always did have, as you say, a rep, he also did amazing things. He ran drug centers. He helped people in need. He also was a bad boy with a terrible problem that was extremely painful at times. But something about what he says afterwards, it makes everything okay. That's the reaction that I get from so many people from all around the world, because the book is like in 16 languages now. It hit that chord that we're really okay, and it's okay to have our struggles.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask that in terms of the follow-up, because, I mean, this exploded. When more people got wind of it and heard, you know, you had tremendous reviews, tremendous word of mouth on this. And it's just one of those things. And then even then, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, it's a book, I have to read it. Okay. Arielle Ford said, I read it in 90 minutes. I couldn't put it down. It was great. One of the best. And she's got high praise. So if you're trying to, you know, put this into your short time, it's 90 minutes. All right. If she can do it in 90 minutes, you can skim it. You won't want to once you start reading it, because that's the thing about this. It's a relationship. That doesn't change. And then you, as you're questioning your own sanity, thinking, am I, you know, is this real? There's a comfort level that happens, that it begins to develop with you. And you get, I think, more comfortable with yourself, too.
That's a very interesting insight. I like that. Yes, it was, first of all, I was getting more love from him than I had gotten in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because again, I was the goody-goody, and he was always compared to me, and he was always the loser. At least in his book, he was the loser, not in my book.
No, you know, no.
In my book, I mean, one of the first things he says to me is, Annie, you know, it's not all so serious, because I'm an extremely serious person, and he's not. And that was one of the great lessons, is like, we're here, we're on Earth, we're playing out these great dramas, and it's not that serious. And like I said before, one of the things that he did was he gave me proof that this wasn't just my imagination. So he would start off by doing things like telling me to deliver messages to people, and I had no idea what they were. So my good friend Tex, who he talks about a lot in the book, he says, call her right now and tell her, show me the money. And I'm arguing with him because, of course, he's my brother, and we always argued. And I said to him, Billy, I'm not calling Tex and saying, oh, my dead brother wants you to know, you know, show me the money.
Yeah, I know.
But, of
yeah.
course...
That's a clue for crazy.
There was no saying no to him. So I did it, and then she goes, oh, my God. I'm like, what? She says, well, I was just took a shower, and I was thinking about the script I was writing, and I picked up a towel, and I was just saying over and over again in the mirror, show me the money, show me the money, show me the money. And then you call, and you say, show me the money. So when things like that would happen, it was like being struck by almost like a lightning bolt.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because all of a sudden it all clicks and it's right on the money, so to speak. Okay.
It's on the money, and how could I make it up? And you know, the proofs just kept intensifying and intensifying until the end. And I would say that this is the moment of the book, or the moment of the journey,
mm-hmm.
when And even talking about it, I get chills. When I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was all real, was he was talking to me about hearing music in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And he was describing what the words were, and it was a chorus singing. And then he tells me, just like Mahler's Eighth Symphony. And I'm like, what? Now, this is a piece of music I never heard of. I wasn't a fan of classical music. And I have to tell you, I just had chills through my whole body, and I go to iTunes, and there is such a thing. That, first of all, that's the biggest shock. And then I play it, and it is exactly as he described it.
Oh,
it's voices and the same words. I mean, it was the most, I'd have to say, mind-blowing event of the whole adventure. And even today, when I think back on the whole thing, which I still haven't totally assimilated, I think of that moment. Anytime I say, how could this have happened? I think of that moment. And a friend of mine who's an astrophysicist, he always says, if you have a big bag full of letters, right, mm-hmm. and you pull some letters out, once in a while you may make a word, but you're never going to make a perfect paragraph.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
And that's what that proof was to me. It was pulling out a perfect paragraph.
Okay, so you've got the music, and what is it again?
Mahler's Eighth Symphony. Oh, and then on top of that, then I researched what Mahler's Eighth Symphony was. And it turns out that it was the story of Faust, which was the story of Billy, because Faust lived the way he wanted. He struggled with the devil, and in the end, he lost. And at the end, Billy kind of lost. He lost his battle with his addictions. But in the story of Faust, because he struggled, and it was his struggle that was so beautiful, that the angels carried him up to a high level.
Yeah.
And that was the solving of another mystery for me. Like, why Billy, who had this crazy life, why did he go to this very high place, which he did?
Mm-hmm.
And that was another layer of this proof, because his struggle and all of our struggles have a lot of beauty to them.
We don't know that at the time.
No, we don't know that at all. And I don't even think we're expected to know that. I mean, you know, only you'd have to be the Buddha to know that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel good. People struggle with disease and relationships and all kinds of things, and it hurts. But there is something within those struggles that I don't know, that we just have to go through. And you never know what you're accomplishing by your struggle. You never know. And, well, and the other amazing thing is you don't even have to necessarily win. You know, we're so caught up in winning. We have to win. We have to succeed. And he says, you know, not necessarily, just sometimes going through it. I mean, I know these concepts are so different.
Well, yeah, not if you're looking at the competitive kind of template that we have laid out for us, and everything's supposed to be good, better, best. We'll put you to the test. Okay, win, 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 fight, 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 go, go, go. Yeah, that doesn't play out in Billy's book the way, or in that spiritual approach of just do it. Just do your best, and there
just
you, you know,
your
show
best.
Up.
And sometimes you can't even do your best. I mean, there have been times in my life when, you know, something, I'm really struggling, and he'll say to me, just go through it. You don't even have to go through it well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just have to go through it. And I think that there's so much philosophy in the pages of this book that make people feel much better about their lives. And that's something that, you know, makes me feel that the experience that I went through, which was not an easy one with him, was worthwhile.
Okay, hang on. Talking with Annie Kagan, and the book is a fantastic read. The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. Okay, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about pearls. All right? So stick around. Don't go away. Pearls. Annie Kagan, next on Wendy's Coffee House. Okay. You heard that real soft intro. See, to me, that's Billy, where you have this real sublime kind of you don't even know that it's there. Then all of a sudden, it's like full volume. And listening to this when you're alone or, you know, and just in kind of in a retrospective kind of way, it really sets the tone. And that's why when Annie was describing to this, I thought, gosh, we've got to hear this. We have to see. And so you're on your own time. You're listening. All right. You can listen to the whole thing because hearing that build is it was giving me goosebumps as we were saying, oh, this is it. This is it. This is really cool. Annie, he talks in the book, the pearls. We were talking before the break about the wisdom that he somehow, you know, this wasn't his life path. His life path was in the trenches and doing everything pretty much, I guess, no holds barred in so many ways. No limits, no barriers, no boundaries, no borders. He experienced it up close, personal. Wow. And you're going back on, wait.
Yeah, it's kind of like he lived, you know, 30 lifetimes in one lifetime. I mean, he had no money. He lived in the richest part of Manhattan. You know, he worked in the courts in a high position. He was a homeless person on the street. You know, he did it all. And I really think that he did it to come back because he needed to experience those things in order to help people. Like, his favorite thing in life was always to help people. He loved people. He loved to help people. And at one point in the book, I think he said to me something like, you know, because I don't want to suffer. Who wants to suffer? I don't want to have difficult things. And he said to me something like, you know, I know you just want a la-di-da through life, everything easy, but without life's sand, there would be no pearl.
Yeah.
And that the irritations that we go through, the things that we suffer, sometimes they become a beautiful pearl. And throughout the book, he just says things that people underline and come back to. He gives these incredible pearls of wisdom. I'm actually looking at my Facebook page. We have this great Facebook page, Afterlife of Billy Fingers, where I put up all the pearls.
Yes.
So the first one that comes to mind is, life's very temporary, so don't let time just pass. Let the moments fill you, the ones you judge as good as well as bad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's such an unusual concept. And when anything difficult happens, I'll say to myself, okay, I'm letting the moment fill me, Billy. It's filling me. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of muddy. You know, it's kind of muddy right now.
It's kind of muddy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to think it's not only about the good. Okay, here's another one. Life is a learning experience chosen for soul-type reasons that humans have an almost impossible time understanding.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's one of the great things I like that kind of is not, the book is not New Agey in any way.
No.
He's not telling you, have a goal, and you're going to meet that goal, and you create everything, and you can see everything. It's like, it's a learning experience, and you don't always understand what you're doing here or why you're doing it. And what he has taught me is it doesn't matter. You don't have to figure it out. Live the mystery of it. And I would say that's one of the things that has made my life better. I don't have to figure everything out. I don't have to know why it's happening. I don't have to change it. I just live in the mystery of it. And it's okay not to know, because we can't really know everything with our limited minds. We're not meant to.
Part of that, though, is, you know, that when I talked about you becoming more comfortable with yourself, first you had to get over the thing that this was okay to have this experience with him and to understand that he was indeed communicating. That was like, it was your deal. And there was nobody who could take it away from you. And they couldn't make it bad because it was such a cool encounter. And it was such a wonderful thing to learn. Especially there's and on your Facebook page, in the afterlife, the light rays have qualities like wisdom, intelligence, and kindness. They know and understand you. That's beautiful.
And that's what he was saying. He said, like, when he described first, you know, dying, mm-hmm. and that he was sucked up inside a silvery chamber of light, and that the first nanosecond that the lights touched him, all the pain of his entire lifetime, physical, emotional, mental, everything was erased. And I could feel it. I mean, that's one of the things that made the experience wonderful and difficult, was that when he was talking, I could actually feel the atmosphere where he was, that beautiful, the light rays. And then when he went away, I was back here.
Mm-hmm.
And that contrast was something I had to really learn to master.
Did it, I mean, did that make his being gone more difficult?
It didn't make his being gone more difficult. It made being in the world more difficult.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I know some people say, you know, they have an after-death experience, you know, a near-death experience, and then everything gets easier. I mean, for me, but I researched it, and that does not happen to everyone.
That's right. That's right.
Right? Like, that's kind of the donut vanilla-coated version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it makes it more difficult to be here because there's so much, as Billy calls it, gravity. You know, there's so much stuff, and there's people, and there's minds. And it took me a really long time to learn to balance the two things.
When he was telling you to write everything down, this was still when it was fresh and new. Were you concerned at where it was going and what was happening?
I never thought about that. I just listened to him. I just kind of had no choice. It's hard to... had a choice when he was alive either.
Yeah.
I always kind of did what he wanted. But the nice thing for me was, like, because I'm like... I'm a good writer and I'm diligent. He was like, wow, all the things like I was mad at you about when I was alive. Like, I'm really glad you're smart and that you could, you know, that you're persistent.
Methodical. Yeah. All the details. The attention
because
detail.
Now it served him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm picturing Patrick Swayze and Whoopi Goldberg in the movie Ghost. You know, I'm Henry VIII. I am. Yeah. You just try and ignore me. Okay. How's that working for you?
Exactly. But it was, you know, it was, and still is, although it's different now. I think something people don't understand is what we were talking about before, is that it wasn't just a big party. It's not like Billy told me what to do every minute and made my life really easy. In fact, he toughened me up more. He made me more independent and toughened me up.
Okay.
I would say.
Okay, hang on. We're going to take a break because we're going to come back to that part of it. Okay, because that's a good place to take a little break. Again, if you're listening along, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, and author, sister, Annie Kagan, talks about how my bad boy brother proved to me there's life after death. And he did it with a touch of honey, a little bit of vinegar, and of course some salt, okay? Just the way those things work. And a sense of humor, okay? So we're going to come back with more about how she got tougher. Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio. Yes. That's kind of a Billy thing.
I would say so, yeah.
There he is. It's kind of a UFO. You know, when you hear people And they explain some of these, if you've ever listened to the abduction stories and stuff, and they get all this incredible experience. And it doesn't mean they're abducted. They experience it like an altered state or a different reality, a different dimension. And they say it was so wonderful there. And even the near death, it was so wonderful there. Why did I have to come back? And sometimes they'll say, well, because you're living here. This is your life. And you're your project right now. So you can't skip the homework. But I, at the very beginning when we were talking, you were saying, you know, he said, don't. Why so serious? Why, you know, you don't have to be so serious. Remember, this is something that you are here for, the experience, and that's the moment.
Yes, and I'll tell you something that didn't make it into the book. Some things didn't make it into the book, is which I think is very wise. He would say, you know, don't think of life too much as a learning experience, because if you do that, it's like, oh, life is doing it to you and you're learning. Think of yourself as a great experimenter, carrying out experiments in this planet that you can only carry out these things on this particular planet. And pick what your experiments are and then take the equations back with you when you die to share it. And I find that is so empowering, right? Like,
yes.
Life isn't doing it to me.
Yes.
I'm experimenting.
It makes
right?
it look so much more fun, because it's like, well, what if I tried this? Oh, that didn't work. What if I tried that? Wow, I never would have done that. I didn't. Yeah. Yes. It's freeing, liberating.
It's freeing and empowers you. And that's what he's about. He's all about empowerment. Like, one of the gems here just brought this up was like, I love this one. People will see you as they want to, so don't be too concerned about it.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have our own filters.
Right, it's like we care so much. Oh, he thinks I'm this or she thinks I'm that. So what? It doesn't mean it's the truth.
Yes. Yeah, but that's part of this thing of, people don't always have the luxury of having a relative, somebody close to them, somebody that can make an impact, come back and give them basically an up-close and personal tour of the afterlife. And that's what he did. I mean, he spells out, this is what happened. Then he takes a break and he goes away for a little while. And, you know, obviously he had other courses of study that he'd already signed on for.
Yes.
What was that like? Getting the tour.
You know, again, it's not what everybody thinks, because he wasn't really doing it for me. He was doing it for everybody. It was hard. The book took me a really long time to assemble and put together, right?
Mm-hmm.
To take whatever was repetitive out. He was doing it for everybody. And in fact, I can't even tell you how many emails I get that people are actually feel him through the book, and it changes their life. And people talk to him, and they say, oh, my God, every spiritual thing I ever thought is in that book, and I feel freed. So I would say it was wonderful, but also I had to get very strong to do it. Mm-hmm. I had to get very strong to present it to the world, although he helped me with that. He said, look, your job is not to convince anybody of anything. Just tell the story, tell the truth of what really happened, and they could take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. And that freed me to just tell the truth. And if somebody thinks it's ridiculous, it doesn't really bother me. Because that's not my job. My yeah. job, he says at the end, is like, be the Scheherazade of my story.
You have your own life.
And yes.
In that respect, how has it improved or enhanced or made a dent in who you are?
Wow. I would say it changed everything. And it's still a mystery. Like, I can't even explain how. I would tell you I'm not afraid of death at all.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% believe that we do go on, that we are eternal, and that whatever we call God or the divine is so much more incredible than anything that we could ever imagine. Billy once said that if you took all the galaxies in the universe and put them side by side, what the divine actually is and what you think the divine is further away from the first galaxy to the last. So, you know, there's this awe that's inside of me that I know about. And so, for example, when my mom died, and she died after Billy, I knew where she was going. I wasn't afraid of it. I was able to assist in that way. Mm. And just knowing that is a very beautiful thing, and it changes everything. When you know that you are an eternal being, just that one thing, just to know that one thing, and if you read what he wrote and the proofs really carefully,
yeah.
No one can make this story up. I mean, who could? I'm not smart enough to make this story up. I really laugh when people say, oh, she made this story up. It makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
Because, like, I couldn't have made this up.
You were too linear.
I was too linear. I was too serious. Who could think of these things that he says? I'm not that advanced.
Yeah.
So if someone could read the book and just open their mind a little bit that, hey, going on is not a fairy tale that they're telling us to make us feel better about dying, mm-hmm. but it's real. That perspective just changes everything, just that one little change.
Okay, I'm going to turn it just a little bit because of the troubled times when we go through things that are a little frightening, a little overwhelming on the big picture. Any advice for that? We've got about 2 minutes left.
Oh, God. I would say that it's okay. I know this sounds really horrible, but we will all go on in some form. So even when things end and there's suffering, and that I don't mean to take anything away from the suffering, we are eternal, and no matter what happens, we will go on. And what I do is I try to be loving to the people that I'm close to.
Yeah, yeah. And see, that's what I think the takeaway from this is, that there's so much more. There's so much more that there's no way to even, you know, put it in a tiny little capsule. And he's given it in this book. He's given you basically a little template, and you can follow along. And take what works for you. If it doesn't work, that's fine. But the pieces that do work, so many people have just said this is absolutely phenomenal to have it in a book.
It's true. And I have to say, it's not. I don't feel like it's my book. It's like so beyond me that it was... I'll just end with this little dream that I had where Billy came to me and he was like a little golden hummingbird. And he said to me in the dream, Annie, I need you to do something for me. And I said, what, Billy? You know, what do you need? And he's like, I just need you to do this. I need you to go out and do this for me. And I did. And it's there for anybody who wants it.
You did a phenomenal job, Annie.
Okay? No, thanks.
Hey, thank you. I thank you so much. I appreciate your time. I appreciate the risk that you took and the vulnerability that it takes to just bare your soul, and you had somebody watching your back, okay? He's still there. Thank you very much for everything that you're doing.
Oh, and thank you for having me, Wendy.
You can follow along The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. Check it out. Read it. Skim it. Whatever. But remember, it's your life. Enjoy it. See ya.